On today's episode of Insights, is a chatbot the secret to improving your candidate experience? We share a few key takeaways from the Florida Staffing Association's annual conference in Orlando, Florida. And Matt and I talk about Google. What should you be doing to improve your footprint across Google properties? Today's episode is brought to you by The Idea Club, Haley Marketing's playground for creative thought, experiments, and inspiration. From ebooks and white papers to how-to articles and on-demand webinars, you'll find everything you need to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more. To learn more, visit haleymarketing.com/ideaclub. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your content marketing, social recruiting, employer branding, and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, welcome to episode 14.
Thanks, Brad. Let's get rolling.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, here's a topic we haven't talked about yet on Insights. Is a chatbot the secret to improving the candidate experience?
I don't know if I'm going to say it's a secret, but it can definitely help.
I agree there, Matt. I think having a chatbot on a website and just looking from client experiences and clients that we work with, having a chatbot on a website is a great way to make the candidate experience a little bit more efficient. If you're unfamiliar with what a chatbot is, I'm going to walk you through that real quick. Essentially, a chatbot can live on any page of your website and allows for an applicant or a potential prospect the opportunity to reach out to you and submit a question to you and your team, or you could have a guided chatbot where there's specific questions that may pop up that an individual can answer or be directed to the next page of the website. You could have some chatbots that use automation or maybe some process flow that guides them to the next step of the process based on variables and parameters that are established there. But ultimately, a chatbot allows the opportunity for a candidate or a potential prospect. It gives them really the opportunity to take action on their own without having to call your team or your recruiters.
And it's really important, I think, or one of the great benefits of the chatbot is being able to direct them to a capture form or to get some information when your team's not on.
Sure.
It could be, you know, your office open from 8 to 5 or, you know, plus or minus a little bit there. But if someone wants to go to your website at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night or maybe noon on a Sunday or whatever random hour they're browsing around thinking about how to make their business better or how they want to find a new job, they can bounce over to your website. There could be a chatbot that guides them through a couple of questions depending on the complexity of the chatbot and gets them to a point to submit their name, hopefully their email and or phone number, and there's a lead for your team to follow up with.
Right. And if we think about passive candidates and passive applicants, if an individual is currently working 8 to 5, when could they possibly apply to an available opportunity on your job board? It's going to be after hours. It's going to be once your team leaves. And unless your team is stationed to respond to those emails or those phone calls all day 24/7, which I doubt you are, you need a chatbot in place to answer those questions when individuals want their question answered. Matt, I know that you grabbed a couple stats here regarding chatbots, and you looked at some data into really why individuals should consider a chatbot. Why don't you share a couple of those big hitting stats with us?
Sure, Brad. There's you know, we can make stats say anything, but I think a couple that really work well here are, you know, only, you know, 15% of American adults have used a chatbot, which is a small number. I think that's going to grow, but let's build off that and say, you know, there's another stat from Acquire that says 40% of millennials say they chat with chatbots daily. That's a lot of people. That's 2 out of 5.
Yeah, it sure is. And I would even argue that the majority of individuals chatting with a chatbot don't know that it's automated or don't know that it's a bot.
Correct. And that's a whole nother can of worms we won't talk about today. But I think the one other stat that really jumps out to me is from Nerdy Data, so it must be true.
Of course.
And very valuable. But it's less than 1%, half of a percent of all B2B companies are using chatbots. And staffing agencies aren't all B2B, but there's definitely a sales development side to where you need to be able to talk to candidates, but you also need to be able to talk to to the that sales size, your potential clients or prospects, and to drive them and deliver information that would show your staffing agency as a potential solution for their recruitment issues. So being able to have a chatbot on your site, and there's also social media chatbots on Facebook that we're not really getting into today, but whatever you can do to have that chatbot there, because it's instant availability to answer questions your target audience wants when they want them. And in the way marketing and all this interaction between businesses and consumers is starting to evolve, that's the key, having something available when a prospect or a candidate wants it available.
There's a great article on HaleyMarketing.com by COO of Haley Marketing Group, Victoria Kenward, where she refers to chatbots and she talks about the impact of chatbots. And I want to walk through that, Matt, if you don't mind. One key stat in there is that 57% of customers have stopped buying from a company because a competitor provided a better experience. And if we're thinking about record low unemployment, unemployment's so low that the last time it was this low, we had just put a man on the moon. We need to think about delivering a wow and delivering great experiences for not only our prospects, but also our potential applicants. So 57% of customers have stopped buying from a company because a competitor provides a better experience. We need to make sure that we have the top experience.
So I think the takeaway here, maybe some homework for the listeners, is don't just go to staffing agency websites. Look at any websites. Look at that consumer world, because the consumer world, you know, usually is at the front of the latest trends and will trickle down those tactics that work well into, you know, talent acquisition and staffing. You know, jump around to different companies, jump around to those huge Fortune 500 companies. It could be any consumer company. Experience a live chat. Go into a chat bot, you know, answer the questions, try to break it if you want to see how good it is, just to see what the experience could be for someone going to your site, and then find out what works well, find out what doesn't work well, and then look into different ways you can find a chatbot for your site and find the right solution. There are very affordable options. You don't need to be spending thousands of dollars a month for the best artificial intelligence chatbot on your site, but find out what works you think would work really well for your company and find the right solution to answer questions from your prospects and candidates when they want them answered.
Seen and heard.
Just this past week, I had the opportunity to speak at and attend the Florida Staffing Association's annual conference in Orlando, Florida. And on this episode of Insights, we wanted to, instead of going through social reach, do two segments of Seen and Heard and share really some key findings that I was able to bring back to you, the listener, from the Florida Staffing Association's annual conference.
That's all he brought back. He didn't bring us back any gifts.
Zero gifts, but I did bring back some hard-hitting insights for you, the listener. When Greg Dorshing, who was the keynote, presented first thing in the morning at the Florida Staffing Association, he walked through the three steps of recruiting. And for me, this was really one of the biggest takeaways of the conference. The first step was attraction, making a person aware of an opportunity that may be better than their current position. So you have to attract that candidate. The second step of recruiting is establishing interest. This typically takes 12 to 72 hours for a person to consciously decide if this is an opportunity that they actually want to pursue. The third step of recruiting is qualifying and establishing that the applicant accurately matches three critical control points necessary to become a candidate. And those control points are an 85% match against the skills required for the job, the reasons to work for that organization motivate them other than money, and they would accept an offer in their heart if the company specified a specific salary range that fit their needs. The challenge here is that as we look at staffing and recruiting firms across the country, when we look at jobs that are posted on client job boards, on just job boards across the country, staffing firms are trying to qualify the candidate before they actually attract the candidate.
When you brought back that recap of the keynote from Greg there, you brought it to us earlier in the week, and then I've thought about it, and then as you talked about here, Brad, that's exactly what jumped to my mind, is just bad job descriptions.
Sure.
It's blank staffing company is recruiting for an experienced batch operator for a client. Like, that's not going to attract anyone.
Right.
That's qualifying. And then it jumps into what this person would be doing on a daily basis. It's not getting back to the right way a job description should be written. In my mind, it's, you know, it's the what's in it for me, and that should be the candidate.
And Greg actually went in to talk about what attracts a candidate. And the prime motivators in the order that he outlined were better quality of life for them and their family. Their ego. People want to be good at what they do. They want more opportunity for advancement in the future. They want a good location. People want convenience, and they want a job that's close to home. And then fifth, they're concerned with money. So when we look at what attracts candidates, while money is important, and money certainly has an impact, we look at four other prime motivators for a job. And I think that that's important. If we look at the current job descriptions, we've talked about job descriptions on Insights before, but I would even challenge you to look at your current job descriptions on your website or the jobs that you've posted on sites like Indeed or ZipRecruiter. Are you trying to qualify a candidate and an applicant before you actually attract them and captivate their attention?
Yeah, those areas that people really focus on when looking to switch jobs, like the quality of life makes a lot of sense. It could be their commute. It could be their shifts. It could be flexibility. It could be, you know, if it's more of a professional position, maybe it's something as, you know, that's a student loan assistance or on-site daycare or anything you could do to make that day in the life at work much easier. And then I love that ego part, because I think people really want to be proud of their jobs and tell, you know, it could be their buddies at some summer barbecue, or it could be at the family reunion this summer. Yeah, this is my job. I'm really proud of it. And if it's a job that they're very attracted in and interested in and then qualify for, that's going to be the right fit for their career and really keep them happy with your company or with your staffing agency, to where they're going to become more loyal to your company. And that's as vital. Retention is as vital as recruiting new candidates right now in this tough market.
I have a couple other takeaways, because I was really hit by what Greg was saying. He had another quote that said, "Your candidate list should be approached as a list of CEOs. Regardless of what you're what you're actually sourcing and who you're looking for, individuals are CEOs of their lives. They're the CEOs of their household. So you should approach every single candidate as if they're the CEO of their own life." He also went into a really good quote that I wanted to share here too, that said, "Every single person you ever talk to is looking for a new job." And we certainly know that at record low unemployment. But they're not thinking about it as a job. They're thinking about finding more happiness. They're thinking about finding a greater sense of fulfillment. So while we're always looking for candidates and we're looking for people to fit into an open role, what we can do is we start to attract candidates and we start to attract applicants is really think about how we can make our positioning and our messaging a little bit different and talk, let's maybe talk about happiness, self-fulfillment, having an opportunity to go to work every day to a job that you love waking up to go to. While an individual might be okay and somewhat happy in their current role, how can the job that you're providing them, that next step in their career, create a greater sense of happiness, a greater sense of fulfillment? Now, there's one other point that I wanted to mention again from Greg Dorshing's keynote at the Florida Staffing Association's annual conference. He went on to talk about no-call no-shows, and he asked a great question of who in the past, you know, year has experienced a no-call no-show, and every hand went up in the room. And he asked if anybody understood why people don't show up for their first day on the job. And after a while of an awkward pause and an awkward silence, he said the reason people don't show up to that first day on the job is because they went home and they talked to a friend or a family member about that job, and somebody talked them out of it. As human beings, we are attracted to details and not generalities. So if you're selling a job opportunity and you're selling a role to a potential candidate or a potential applicant, and you're not giving them all of the specifics that they need, all of the details, and they go home and they talk to their wife about it, they're being talked out of that opportunity. So think about what you might say when you get on the phone with somebody. "Well, we have this job opportunity somewhere in Buffalo. You make between $10, $12 an hour. You'll work in a warehouse." If you go home and talk to a friend or a family member about that and you don't have the specifics, well, where? Exactly how much are you going to make? Is it a safe warehouse? Is safety a key factor? As human beings, we're attracted to details, not generalities. And we're never recruiting just one person. We're recruiting the opinions of that person's friend and family members as well. Really great takeaways from Greg Dorshing at the Florida Staffing Association's annual conference. Again, I was very motivated by what he had to say. And just to bring this back full circle, if we want to break this down into the three steps of recruiting, something that I want you to be mindful of as you listen to this episode, the three steps of recruiting are attraction, establishing interest, and then qualifying that candidate. Make sure you're going 1, 2, 3 and that you're not qualifying that candidate during the job description and during that attraction phase.
seen and heard.
Matt, let's talk about Google. What should we be doing to improve our footprint across Google properties?
That's a loaded question, Brad.
It sure is, Matt. That's why I threw it your way, because I didn't want to answer it first.
Thanks, Brad. But we are doing two episodes of Seen and Heard because it's our show and we can do whatever we want. But
sure can.
We found a blog post or some really good data from an expert in, you know, the SEO in that search world. It's from, you know, Rand Fishkin. He works with SparkToro. He spun off his own company recently. He used to work at Moz.
Yep.
And he's worked with data from Google, really was talking to Congress back in 2018. And then he started to get a lot of data from a company called Jumpshot. And what they looked at are trends. And what we mean is a trend in when you go to Google on a desktop, on your mobile device, and type in a search, what happens after you click that search button? That's the data we want to look at because it's going to show how user behavior is taking place and how Google is answering search terms from people. The biggest takeaways is that when somebody types in a search to Google, 48.96% of the time, very precise,
yep,
nobody clicked. The question was answered, which...
That's scary.
It's scary in the terms of organic traffic.
Correct.
Because if you have a good content plan, you've been listening to Insights, you have a great content plan, you're developing content, you know, multiple times a month, nobody's clicking on your content.
Sure, but it might be showing up in other locations.
It could be.
It could be showing up in that featured snippet. It could be showing up. You could be showing up on the Google map.
Sure.
There's a lot of factors here, and there's a lot of Google properties that influence answers. And Google's really in business to provide the best answer to that search query. So they're doing everything right. They're doing everything that they want to be doing.
Yeah, and that gets into all this. I think it started because of antitrust and all this kind of stuff where, you know, could Google just be totally dominating because 49% of the time nobody's clicking, but then of the times that people click, 12% of the time it's going to a Google property. Like Brad said, an Alphabet-owned company. So it could be YouTube. It could be the Maps. It could be Google for Jobs. It could be, you know, something that Google has. So 55% of the time Google's providing that right answer. The problem with the organic traffic is, you know, it's down 15-20% in the last 3 years. And we've seen that. Like, we look at staffing websites every day, and I don't have the stats in front of me because there's also a lot of factors.
Sure.
Because unemployment is much lower in 2019 than it was in 2016. But you see organic traffic going down, and that's because Google's premise, you know, one of their main principles is to provide the answer to somebody's question as quickly as possible. And if Brad's on his phone searching for jobs in Buffalo, New York, he's not. But if he is and he gets that answer right away, that's what he wants. He wants an answer in 5 seconds instead of 15 seconds and two clicks.
Sure. And without really trying to scare everybody into saying that organic search doesn't matter, because it certainly does. And as we look at traffic from nearly 1,000 staffing and recruiting companies across the country, we do see organic search as a leading source of traffic for the majority of websites. The point that Matt and I are trying to make here is that owning all of your Google properties that you can set up for your organization will drastically increase your likelihood of showing up on that search results page. So if we think about, and we've talked to Dan Hong before about SEO and where to get started in SEO on past episodes of Insights, but we wanted to really talk about this report because we wanted to bring attention to the fact that, you know, almost 49% of search queries are being solved without a click.
Right. So what can we do to get into that 49%?
I think it comes down to owning all of your Google properties. Do you have your location set up in Google My Business? Is your office set up in Google My Business? And is it verified? So have you gone through the process and gone through the steps to verify your business listing? And what will happen there then is if somebody searches for staffing firms in Buffalo or staffing firms in general, Google is going to look at their location on their device. So whether it's a laptop, an iPhone, regardless of what it is, they're going to look at where that device physically is. From there, it's going to show them a map of proximity based on staffing firms around them. From there, it's increasing online reviews. How can we build more reviews to make sure that we have a better employer brand? Matt, I'm going to let you talk on that from a recruitment marketing standpoint. Why are reviews so critical in developing that employer brand?
If we're focusing on Google Maps, that's not what we're saying only to focus on here. It's in this one example, but if you type in staffing agencies near me or jobs in, you know, your city, and then there's five staffing agencies that pop up, if you're a 4.2 star review and your competitor is 2.4, you're going to get the click. And it's just so important because people trust reviews from other people they've never met more a lot of the time. You know, we probably shouldn't. We do. But think about even outside your job search or outside your professional world. Think about restaurants. Think about hotels. Think about the vacation you want to plan this summer or next summer. You go to Google. You type it in. You see something with bad reviews. You're not clicking on it. You're finding reasons to say no. You see something with good reviews. You see, you find reasons to go to that location.
Yeah. And then I think the next step is to create a great, robust content plan that answers the questions that your target audience is actively searching for. Using that research to actually answer questions that your audience is searching for to increase the likelihood that you show up not only in that featured snippet section, and I believe Dan referred to it as the location snack pack, right?
He may have. I like to say position zero.
Position zero, but at that very top of Google search results, answer great questions because Google is in the business of answering people's questions. So how can you have the best answer to a question that millions or thousands of people are looking for?
Yeah, my two thoughts here. People are searching more long-tail keywords, which means they're going to Google to search 5, 6, 8, 10 words in one search instead of just jobs. So if you can answer that question, that's the targeted traffic you want. Because it might not get a lot of searches per month. It might only get 50 searches in your market per month. But if you can get a strong number of those 50 searches, that's the traffic that's going to convert. And if you have a chatbot on your site, they would convert.
And that feeds right into what I had referred to in Greg Dorshing's keynote, is human beings want specifics. They want details, not generalities. So you're not going into Google and saying, give me directions. It's give me directions to the closest Domino's in Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. Very, very specific details. So those long tail keywords, individuals are certainly looking for those because that's, as human beings, we want the best answer to our questions. So we need to ask the right questions.
And building off that best answer, my last point here is going to be about the featured snippet, which I do think there's no secret sauce here. Brad and I can't tell you five things to do to get you into that featured snippet, that position zero on Google right now, other than have a really good content plan, write strong content, maybe do some research to see a term you want to rank for and find a better way to answer that. Because, you know, I have seen feature snippets for a couple of my clients, and one of them's on, I think, the efficiencies of nuclear power, which,
okay,
right, they do power generation recruiting in Virginia.
Got it.
But their organic traffic is through the roof because one blog is carrying it. We've been doing blogging for 4+ years, and it's one of those blogs is driving, I would say, 50-60% of overall website traffic because it's answering a specific problem, and people like the content, so Google's going to keep showing it to future users who are searching about nuclear power on Google.
So, Matt, let's wrap it up and let's get it done on this segment of Seen and Heard. When we think about Google search, with so many individuals not actually clicking over to get their answer, with so many individuals, they are clicking over to get their answer, where should we get started if we had to break it down into action items for the listener?
We want to have a good content plan. I think we don't want to ignore that. We still want, even if Google is fewer people are clicking, we need to have really good content there because maybe your content shows up at the top and it builds that relationship. So step one is still producing strong content.
I would say step two is verifying and making sure that your office or offices are set up and verified on that Google map through Google My Business. And as a third takeaway, I would make sure that if you are producing video content, that you set up a YouTube channel and make sure that you're sharing content over to YouTube because those YouTube results do show up in Google search. Matt and I talked at a very high level on chatbots and search engine optimization in today's episode of Insights. And while we did talk at a high level, we do have a team of experts at Haley Marketing Group who can talk in depth about both of those topics. If you'd like to talk about getting a chatbot installed on your staffing and recruiting website, or you'd like to talk to our team of search engine optimization specialists on how you can maximize your footprint on Google, we ask that you reach out to us by visiting haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please share it with just one coworker this week. Have a question for us? You can tweet us at haleymarketing and let us know what you're thinking or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. I'll see you next time.